Blog Talk Radio.
If there's one thing we can take away from the year 2015, it's this. Nothing lasts forever. Heroes and legends we knew as children, who we grew up with, we finally understood the word mortality. We lost Wes Craven, Christopher Lee, Gunnar Hansen in the horror world. Outside, into the geek world, we lost Leonard Nimoy, Roddy Piper, Dusty Rhodes, The American Dream, and others. If you can take away this one thing in 2015, always, without a doubt, appreciate what you have now, because it can always be taken away from you. Sometimes they come back, like in the Stephen King novel, as in the case of the X-Files, and now in new episodes of Mystery Science Theater 3000, but more often than not, they burn out and they fade away. But anyway, hey now, what is up? A tremendous Thursday evening to you, and welcome to this edition of Dollar Bin Horror Radio. My name is Eric Polk, and it's that time of year. It is the best of 2015. It is our Into the Black episode, and we certainly appreciate you guys coming on, dropping by, and saying hello, whether you're listening live or streaming on Blog Talk, or on the archives, I should say, at blogtalkradio.com. We're glad you're listening in. Number to call if you guys want to talk live. It's 1-877-552-4073. For our international listeners, the number to call is 323-843-6113. We're talking about all things that were good in the year of 2015. In the theaters, there was some hyped-up movies that didn't quite live up to expectations. But if you went and searched the wonderful streams of Netflix, Hulu, and other places, you found some gems. But of course, helping me out is the one who always helps me, because I cannot handle the burden of a 1 hour weekly internet based radio show all by myself. On the other end of the tin can, string funded by an extremely evil corporation. There we go. She is the Lord and Mistress of DarbinHorror.blogspot.com, and she's got a foot in the situation right now. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome back to the show, Miss Ronnie Reaper.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, what's going down?
The arch of my foot, apparently.
Yes.
I am, like,
Damn. Dude,
it's not even funny. Apparently, I knew I was flat foot, but over the last year, if you are friends with me on Facebook, you see I've been doing all these runs.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been, like, doing 5Ks and stuff. Well, apparently it's caught up to me because, you know, I bought $10 Walmart shoes thinking, hey, these are running shoes. No, not really, no. My foot, like, probably a few days ago just started, like, throbbing so bad it wasn't even funny. I couldn't stand on it. So I did some research, and as far as I can tell, I don't know what's wrong with my ankle. My ankle on my right foot just fucking hates me, so I had to get an ankle brace to wear. But my left foot, I'm pretty sure it's plantar fasciitis.
Ouch.
Which is small tears or a strain in the little ligament thingy underneath your foot. And just to, like, fucking stand, I had to just drop $50 on different orthotics and stuff because my feet hate me.
And you got Black Friday.
But the orthotics do help. I can actually get through a day at Walmart working without crying because I'm on my feet for, like, 8 hours straight.
Oh, man. Well, we hopefully your foot gets better, hopefully. I mean, that's nothing to mess with, for sure.
Yay, my body hates me. It's all right.
Well, I mean, But the good, well, other than the splitting injury, you had a pretty good 2015 doing things to improve yourself, and I'm very proud of you for one.
Thanks. I'm back on the diet now because I kind of strayed a little bit. Not gonna lie, but
yeah.
Overall, I went from 260 to 210 right now.
Excellent.
Would have been 200 even if I didn't stray from that damn diet.
Yeah, I did.
But hopefully,
I'm
on it now, and by the end of the year, I'm gonna be under 200 again. That was my year goal, was get under 200.
Well, you did. Seeing your pictures.
Which is ironic because I started losing weight to make my feet feel better. And apparently,
wow.
Running made them worse. Yes.
Yikes. Well, hopefully your feet feel better. And like I said, I'm proud of you for sticking with it. And yeah, I did the same thing myself. I was on a diet for a while. And I fell off the wagon, but I'm going back on it here soon, probably after Thanksgiving.
Oh, I got my Special K shake right beside me. This is dinner, Mitch.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, 1-877-552-4073 is the number to call if you guys want to get on the conversation tonight. It is the best of 2015, our Into the Black episode, and everything that was good in the year of 2015. We're hoping that you guys want to come in and say hi to us. And for international listeners, 323-843-6113. One brief programming note. Our Crazy Fatful 2 Hall of Shame episode, which we originally had scheduled for December the 10th, is being moved back a week to December the 3rd because I will not be attending the Riff Tracks Santa Claus and the Ice Cream Bunny Men on the 3rd. I'm probably just going to wait till the 16th on the rebroadcast. So we're going to be doing that, and then our final show is January 7th, 2016, so we hope that you come on and say goodbye to us.
Want to do a quick little thing because I got a couple messages from people about something I said last week.
Okay.
The blog is not going away, okay? I said last week hiatus. Maybe that wasn't the right term to use. I'm trying to figure out a way because I don't know exactly what I'm doing yet. It's not going to go away, people. The blog is still going to be around.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do reviews and stuff still. I'm just not posting very often. I know. Forgive me for that. Work is killing me.
Mm-hmm.
But I might not take screeners anymore just because I have like 800 unread fucking emails. And I have a day job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I'm not kidding when I say that. I have 800 unread emails, and I haven't checked my fucking email in 3 weeks. Like, 3 weeks. Calm the fuck down, people. Just calm down.
Yeah, so you're still having it just unlimited, just like unlimited.
Yeah,
basis,
I think I'm
going to
cut the screeners out just because, damn. I can't read each of I know. I mean, probably 300 of them are spam, but I'm just saying. There's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah,
blog is still going to be around. I'm going to post. I'm not going to run it like a business or anything. It's a blog, people. I'm going to post when I feel like there is something worth me posting. I'm going to try to post more often, but it's not going to go anywhere. Me and Eric will still do some blog posts once in a while, but I think I might cut out the screener part because that'll, cut down my emails.
Yeah, I'm still going to do the occasional blog post, like, tonight when I go up, usually how I normally do the best of it is I do a countdown list of my 10 favorite movies. Well, this year there were so many good movies I watched, I cannot possibly cover them all in an hour. So I'm going to post them on the site. So, you know, my 20 favorite horror movies of 2015, 20 of them. And that's, if you've listened to the show for any length of time, you know, I'm kind of picky about horror movies, which I think are the best I've watched during a given year. You know, there were a lot that blew me away.
Yeah, and see, for me on the show, I'm not even going to lie, I have not watched a lot of new horror this year. The horror I did watch didn't completely, thrill me, but there's one film that I'm going to highlight. It came out last year, but this year is the first time I saw it, and it's definitely, oh my God, it's still yes. So that's going to be
yeah,
my highlight. But we'll get to that.
Yeah, Yeah, we'll get that here in a bit. No, but you were talking, you know, real quick about what you had mentioned earlier. I'm going to be posting. I have my own blog now, which has nothing to do with horror movie reviews or anything reviews. It's just my observations of life or whatever, and talking about my writing and stuff. And that's, if you go to ericpolkblog.wordpress.com, you can find my rantings and musings there. I post every Friday. I've only done 3 posts so far. You know, it's kind of introducing the novel, and I dipped my toes into the huge unnecessary Starbucks controversy over a damn cup, but I won't get into that here. But
let me just
say,
the only statement I ever had to make on that was a video I found on Facebook. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see the video. It is fucking hilarious. This drunk woman said it better than anyone else could.
What'd she say?
Oh, my God, so many things. It's so fucking hilarious. She's wearing, first of all, it's like a drunk, I can't remember her name. She's a comedian, so it's like a character she makes, but she's like in a trailer, and she's drunk, and she's wearing a bra made out of red cups.
Oh, yeah, I think I saw some.
And I love that. She's, like, totally drunk.
But
she's like, y'all Christians get so mad over all this red cup stuff. You like my titty bra of the devil? I'm like, oh, my God, yes.
I can check that out sometime.
It's
okay,
hilarious.
But yeah,
I will share the link.
Awesome. If you go to ericpolkblog.wordpress.com, I post every Friday on a variety different topics. So definitely check that out. So, all right, 1-877-552-4073 is the number to call if you guys want to get in on the conversation. I guess the best of 2015. Anything that you found good in the year of this past year, feel free to call and share it with us. Okay, so I'm gonna get the ball rolling here. I'm not doing a countdown, except I'm going to reveal what my favorite movie of this year was, you know, towards the end of the program. But other than that, it's free reign. I'm just going to throw a movie out there, which was surprisingly good when I saw who was starring in this movie. It was an Arnold Schwarzenegger film. And it's not the Terminator Genesis movie. It was another one he put out this year.
I know which movie it is. I haven't got to see it yet. Damn.
Maggie! What an emotionally powerful story. And I said emotionally powerful and incorporated Arnold Schwarzenegger into that phrase. Emotionally powerful.
You know, all I've seen of
this
movie was the trailer. Because as soon as I heard
uh-huh.
Arnold Schwarzenegger and zombie, I was like, oh, God, what the fuck is this? But
you know,
I watched the trailer, and I admit I really want to see that movie because the trailer looks good.
Rhonda,
as
you're missing. You got to check this out. I mean, we all know Arnold, you know, from his over-the-top craziness. Yeah, exactly. Terminator. He was in Predator. He was Commando. He was Conan the Barbarian twice. You know, all this. And he's just, and this one, he just pulled back. He's sad and he's subdued. Which I'm like, huh? What? Schwarzenegger? And Abigail Breslin, who plays his daughter, I don't want to get too much into it because I know you haven't seen it, but she's bit by a zombie, and the zombies
well,
in this movie.
Well, I know the storyline.
Okay. Well, you know the storyline, then. Okay. Well, you know, just seeing her, you know, doing the slow turn and everything and trying to keep her away from the health department, just trying to take her away, you know, it just makes for a very good movie. I'm very surprised at what transpired. It's a horror movie, but just not in the straightforward sense of horror. It's very emotional and very very gripping. So Maggie is on my best of list this year. Alrighty. So let me ask you this, Rhonda, since I'm going to incorporate other things here. Okay, the best of 2015. What stands out to you, Rhonda, as the best moment in Supernatural this year? You can go back to last season or this season.
That's like choosing my child. Wait a second.
Well, choose your favorite child.
Okay. I think my favorite moment is the episode. They did, first three episodes of the season were pretty straightforward, okay? It was definitely about the storyline. You figured out things. The fourth, I believe it was, the fourth episode of this season was one of their concept episodes. It's where they have a concept that they really want to try, so they incorporate it into an episode. And the concept episode was called Baby. The whole episode takes place from the viewpoint of inside Baby, the car, the 67 Impala. Woo! But it was such an emotional episode, but it was so frigging hilarious. It reminded you of the first three seasons when the brothers were just brothers. And they finally, after forever, like fucking four seasons, said bitch and jerk to each other again. I was like, yes! Yay! And it just, like, it shows you the sweet moments that they actually have inside the car that you don't get to see. Like, it shows you, like, their perspective from driving from place to place. And it was just, they need to do way more episodes like that. That was, you can ask any Supernatural fan, because if you go on the Supernatural blogs and forums, everyone pretty much fucking agrees. Best episode of the season so far. It was just, it reminded you of the good old days of Supernatural. And it was hilarious. They actually completed a joke from, like, 7 years ago. There's an episode in, like, one of the first seasons where the one guy said, oh, my God, I shot the sheriff. And Dean was like, but you didn't shoot the deputy. And it was a really bad joke because he's horrible at jokes. But in this episode, he's like, the monster is actually a deputy. And after he kills him, he goes to the phone, hey, Cass, I guess I did shoot the deputy. And it's like, you just completed a joke from, holy crap, yes! It brought back nostalgia. That was definitely my favorite episode. But that whole thing was my favorite moment. But there's another moment in the episode before last that was just it when they revealed who the darkness actually was. The darkness is a woman, actually. And according to the lore of the show, God had to lock away the darkness in order to create the earth. The Bible lied. He didn't create it from nothing. He had to lock away the darkness before he could create it. And now we understand why the darkness is so pissed off. The darkness is God's sister. He locked away his own sister to create humanity. So yeah, she's a little pissed off.
I can't imagine why, you know, sister of the creator, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, just little. I'm real pissed off. You motherfucking brother.
Wow. 1-877-552-4073 is the number to call if you guys want to get on the conversation tonight. Is the best of 2015 here. We're talking about some of our favorite moments in the world of horror movies and horror television, basically anything else we can find here. I'll tell you, speaking of television, the best moment I loved, was the final episode of Hannibal, particularly the final scene in the final episode of Hannibal. My mouth dropped, and I don't mean that as hyperbole. My mouth literally dropped seeing what happened.
I'm glad you're being vague, because you know I'm trying to catch up.
Yeah, I screamed at the TV. How far are you along in Hannibal right now?
I have season one on DVD, and that's what I'm working through. I'm getting season two as soon as Black Friday comes around, because I know Walmart has really good deals when Black Friday comes around, even though I have to work. Watch me sneak something at lunch. Watch me.
last
year on Black Friday, they had seasons of Supernatural for $10 fucking dollars, but I had to work.
Yikes. Damn. But no, I'm sorry. No, I'm almost always disappointed in television finales, but not with Hannibal. I had to rewind the scene.
I gotta say,
I'm
fucking sad it's gone, because I'm still on the first season and these shows are absolutely fucking gorgeously done. And
wait till you get the second season.
I've seen a couple episodes from season two because I watched it while I was on TV. My favorite one was like the people were sewn together to kind of make like a painting, and then like.
Oh yeah.
And I like the one is like, where did part of his leg go? Hannibal's fucking cooking it, motherfucker. That's where it went.
Yeah, that's. I think I posted this one time. The difference between Hannibal and The Walking Dead is consistency. Hannibal is very consistent. Was very consistent.
And it didn't, like, you know, make you wait to see if somebody's alive or not. Shit, we still don't know.
Glenn. We still don't know about Glenn.
What the fuck? Ain't nobody found him yet. You know he's hiding under that damn dumpster.
Yeah, that's, yeah, there's going to be an episode for this season that's going to be in my Hall of Shame this year. So keep that in mind when you're listening here in a couple of weeks. Okay, so getting back to some of my favorite movies I watched in 2015. Here's a bit of an interesting movie because it's based on a book by an author I am not a fan of, and that's Dean Koontz. I've read some of his stories. I cannot get into them for some reason. I don't know if what it is that just prevents me from liking his stories or what, but this movie called Odd Thomas changed my mind. You had essentially two different kinds of movies. You had The Sixth Sense meeting Supernatural. And the main character in this one is a guy whose name is Odd Thomas. His parents sat down and named him Odd, O-D-D. And yeah,
he
I'm
must
serious.
Really
named,
not like your kid to name him Odd. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it's covered in this movie. But he sees dead people and he puts a stop to the ones that are doing harm. He goes in the opening. He goes, I might see dead people, but then by God, I do something about it.
So what is he like, the male ghost whisperer?
Kind of. He's kind of like that, but he goes out to stop. He basically will take any means necessary to stop, you know, malevolent ghosts. There's this one scene with this dead ghost. He rolls him up into this big carpet. And he looks around and he goes, well, either I'm going to go to jail for murder or for going the biggest joint ever. You know, it's got all these funny lines throughout the movie. You know, you sit there and you're like, oh, this movie's, you know, it's also kind of cute because of his girlfriend. He really loves his girlfriend, but then this huge thing happens, which you see coming. But when it does happen, you're like, aw. Because you know you're rooting for the guy, you know. So this movie is based off of a Dean Koontz novel, and I actually now want to go and read the Odd Thomas books now thanks to this movie. So once again, movies influence books for me. So that's definitely Odd Thomas is definitely a winner for me this year for sure. Stephen King, you know, that kind of leads me into Stephen King with his books. And he put out two this year. He put out Mr. Mercedes, and he also put out The Bizarre Bad Dream, but I just got that in the mail last week.
I was
going to
say, I saw that at Walmart. It's like a collection of short stories. I was looking at it. I'm like, I want to buy it, but I want to wait till it's in paperback because I'm poor.
Yeah, I kind of cheated because he introduced each of his stories, so I just looked through and read the introductions before I I can't read this right now because I'm doing some other stuff, but I'll get to it eventually for sure. But Finders Keepers, which is it's actually the second part of a trilogy. Yes, the first one was Mr. Mercedes, and then this one called Finders Keepers. I think you'll like this one because in it. Bill Hodges,
I have
the guy
Mr.
from...
Mercedes. I can't remember if
okay.
I have Finders Keepers or not. I think I do. I just haven't read it, but I have it, pretty sure.
Yeah, definitely check it out. Bill Hodges is the main character from Mr. Mercedes. He's back in this one. Huh?
No, I said Mr. Mercedes. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah, he's back in this one. He has to stop this guy who is like totally obsessed with this author. He killed this author he loved because
I did buy that because I was reading it and I'm like, oh my god, it's another Misery. But then I started reading like the section and I'm like, oh no, this is a little different. I did buy that book. I just don't know where the hell I put it.
What part did you get?
I know I bought it.
To?
Oh crap!
What
no, you have no idea how many books I have in my room. Like,
I can imagine. What part? How far did you get? Have you gotten?
No, I didn't start reading it. I finished Mr. Mercedes, then I bought.
Oh.
Of course, I went to the book section again and bought another damn book.
Okay, but yeah, absolutely right. This guy, he and Annie Wilkes could have either been husband and wife or brother and sister, essentially. You know, he succeeds where Annie Wilkes fails, essentially.
Oh.
He kills, yeah. Because he wrote, basically this author, he wrote a trilogy of books that he really liked, especially the first one, but then when he got to the third one, he hated it. So he goes, and you'll find out why when you read it, but basically he goes and he whacks him. So. And then it just kind of goes from there. And then you had this kid who likes the exact same author, you know. But he, you know, it's you'll find it as you read it. I took it down with me to vacation this year, and I wiped it out in like 3 days. I was just like oh my god, Rhonda, I was sitting on the beach flipping pages.
Oh yeah, I know. I saw pictures from your vacation while I was at work.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah. Hey, if you ever get a chance, come down with us. It's especially the shark when we went shark when I went shark fishing. That was another highlight of 2015. Just sitting out there, you know, with a pole searching for jaws. Didn't get them, but they didn't risk at this moment. All right, 1-877-552-4073 is the number to call if you guys want to get on the conversation. It's the best of 2015 here on Dollar Bend Horror Radio, going through some of our favorites. All right, hype was a big thing in 2015 for horror movies. You had the heavily hyped Green Inferno, the extremely hyped It Follows, which will be in my top 20 this year, but not as high as you may think. I thought it was good, but... You know, there was it just, you know, it didn't over. I wasn't overwhelmed by it.
The commercials they had for movies this year was just so outrageous. Like, scariest movie in the world, scariest movie of all time. This movie's so scary, you know, like scare your unborn child out of your boyfriend's dickhole.
I think that was my major sticking point. They said scariest movie in the last decade, so.
Can't they just be this movie's fucking scary? I don't know if it's the scariest, but it's fucking scary. Come see it.
Yeah, it's not the scariest movie I've seen in
a decade. I got an even better one. It's not a remake.
Yeah.
That should be the tagline for your new movie. It's not a remake.
But anyway, The Green Inferno also fell thanks to its sellout of an ending. But one movie that was hyped up, and I was watching on streaming, is really good though. We're Still Here. I watched that over the summer, and that movie is creepy as hell. It's got a good, it's got a good story about, you know, a town keeping a secret and the haunted house and what you see down in the basement with all these zombie/ghosts. You know, and the director said it was essentially these monsters were, you know, his tribute to Lucio Fulci, and I can see that.
It's kind of like House by the Cemetery?
Mm-hmm, kind of, but it's better than House by the Cemetery.
Ooh.
And definitely mad props to these guys, you know, to these guys, because this was a very good movie. It was very gory when it needed to be gory, and just It keeps you up late at night, for sure. So props to We Are Still Here. It also featured a horror movie icon, Barbara Crampton. She made an appearance in this. So definitely check that out. All right, so moving on here. I didn't watch hardly anything as far as TV goes. I've seen that there is a bunch. You know, there were some horror-based TV shows to come out this year. There was the Dreadful Scream TV series. I did not see one episode of. But
I can't wait. I can't wait until the next episode because I'm gonna rip Scream Queens a new asshole.
I was talking about the MTV show Scream. But
oh no, that didn't last. That didn't last long enough to rip it a new asshole. I mean, shit. It already ripped itself one.
Yeah, I'm not seeing Scream Queens either, but I'm gonna hear about it.
Oh my god, I can't wait till next week. Oh my god.
Oh, it's a Rhonda Hall of Shamer this year.
Oh my god, I can't wait. Everyone else is like, it's supposed to be funny, it's supposed to be a spoof. Man, it fucking sucks. I got the one episode and I was like, what the shit did I just wasted my life.
but there was some good news coming out of television this year. We got news that The X-Files is coming back, though, only for a six-episode run. But still,
wait,
I mean...
you mean six-episode run? Oh,
yeah, it's only
going to
be
more.
Yes. They're calling it a six-episode event, but you know what? I think the ratings are going to be so
high this year. They called Aquarius... Oh, wait, that's something I can talk about. I forgot about that. It's not exactly horror, but it was awesome.
Well, we had Charles Manson in it. That counts. He is a killer.
Yes.
Yeah, I got to like the fourth or fifth episode, I think, and then I kind of gave up on it. But I think you went wire to wire, didn't you?
This is my first time ever binge watching. It feels like a badge
much,
of honor. That's my badge of honor for 2015. First time I ever binge watched, and now I'm addicted.
Is it coming back for a second season?
It was so good, Aquarius. And they said it was only going to be a 12-episode event, but it's not, motherfuckers. Oh, there's going to be a season two.
Oh, wow. I wonder if David Cummings is going to be coming back.
I have no idea. I got to look that up. But as soon as it does, you know I'm going to be busting out my dad's laptop again. It has been fun.
Yeah, especially, if the X-Files is going to hit big it's probably going to hit, who knows what's going to happen.
I don't know, but it was so good. You know how I love my true crime. And yes, they totally took liberties. I mean, ain't no proof Charles Manson was gay. But in this show, he sure likes a man. They totally took liberties, but the acting was top-notch. David Duchovny was fucking fantastic. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
I love Aquarius. And now it's out on DVD, and I'm like, should I?
Yeah, I just couldn't stick with it. I got five or six episodes.
I tried so hard to pull you in, but I guess it takes a certain taste.
Yeah, and just like I was like, okay, this is okay, but I'm
you know, a show is fucking sick when you're sitting there like, God, Charles Manson is hot. Wait, did I just say that? Oh shit. What is this thing doing to me?
Yes, but, yeah, as far as horror on television goes, like I said, I only watch Hannibal and The Walking Dead, which the first three or four episodes.
I'm going to say that because I really wanted to see American Horror Story. I'm going to wait. I'll have to wait till it comes out on DVD.
Oh, wow.
But this American Horror Story, I want to watch.
You know, the first episode this year of The Walking Dead, of the season, oh, my God, it was everything you loved about The Walking Dead.
I remember you, gushing over it.
You have to remember also, we were coming off the heels of the horrid Fear of the Walking Dead. That's probably going to be in my – all six episodes are probably going to be in my Hall of Shame. I'm leaning towards inducting them. Yeah, I'm leaning towards inducting the first season of Fear the Walking Dead into my Hall of Shame.
Like, I can't even pick an episode. You all suck.
It was a varying degree. Not all of them sucked, but some were worse than others. I'll put it to you that way. I think it was just so hyped up, but then it just kind of failed to live up to expectations. Just like, yes, prequel. And then execution.
My friend at work, she loved that show, and she came to me and was like, you're not watching it? You know they have a guy in there that looks just like Johnny Depp when he was younger. So, of course, you know my ass. I had to Google.
Uh-huh.
My friend needs glasses.
Yeah, I was trying to say, is like when you said Johnny Depp, I'm like, Johnny Depp?
Yeah, my friend needs less.
Freaking,
just because he got long hair
is,
doesn't mean he looked like motherfucking young Johnny Depp.
Yeah, the character, other than, there's this one character, okay, you know, I'll talk about it here in a couple of weeks when we do the whole
Yeah, we'll wait, because, I love that episode, ripping things a new asshole. Yay.
Yeah, the best of 2015 here, let's keep that in mind here. If you guys want to get on the conversation, it's 1-877-552-4073. We are talking about all things we liked about 2015 this year. So I'm going to throw another movie out there, which is actually an older movie I watched during the madness. It's the first time I've ever watched it, and I'm kicking myself for not watching it earlier. Carnival of Souls from 1962.
Damn, even
why
I've seen
I
that. I feel
yeah,
like
why hadn't I? Why hadn't I seen this earlier? Damn, it is fucking scary. It is a timeless, scary movie, you know? And the black and white just gives it more authenticity, you know, with as far as the creep factor goes is concerned. You know, this woman who's this woman's being pursued by the dead, you know, and one of them just standing there smiling at her every time he encounters her, just creepy ass.
If you want to ruin your faith in humanity, you should totally watch I won't say remake of it, but it
mm-hmm.
was like, it's called Wes Craven Presents Carnival of Souls. That should tell you everything you need to know.
I don't want to pick on Wes Craven because he's no longer with us.
I know, but you know
year.
What I mean. Oh, and it has the girl
mm-hmm.
from Saw.
Oh, Shawnee Smith?
Mm-hmm. It's not horrible. I'm not going to say it's horrible. But because it really isn't, it's kind of fun, which is
mm-hmm.
weird to say about that. But compared to the original, it's definitely an offshoot.
Well, that kind of leads me into my next topic here. We're talking about briefly about Wes Craven. We had we did a legacy episode of him back in the around the time he had passed away. But I just want to bring this up again. What more can you say about Wes Craven than has not already been said? The man created iconic horror films. I mean, The Hills Have Eyes, Last House on the Left, Nightmare
Freddy
on Elm
Street. Friggin' Krueger.
Yes, he created Freddy Krueger out of his own nightmares. He has a kid, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He
may have had hit and miss movies, but his hits...
Mm-hmm.
will go down in history
mm-hmm.
as some of the greatest films of all time. The greatest.
And he
helped
revive the horror genre with Scream. You know, say what you will about that movie, but it did revive horror, you know, into what it is now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, almost 20 years ago. I mean, his legacy is going to be felt, you know, for forever. You know, in some way, he's influenced horror in ways that few people can. And I cannot tell you how many times I watched Nightmare on Elm Street this year. When I saw that he passed away, it was heartbreaking to see him go. And it was also heartbreaking to see Christopher Lee go, you know, a freaking legend in time.
Not only
was
he a legend in horror, though, he is like, if you don't know Christopher Lee, throw out your geek card.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he touched. Yeah, he's a part of
Lord of the Rings, Star Wars.
Mm-hmm, he's part of mine too. You know, and he was also a freaking heavy metalist in his 80s.
Hell yeah!
You know, I played a few songs when we did his tribute here over the summer.
Oh yeah, I know.
The other day he passed away, we did a tribute to him over that.
And it's non horror, but you know who else passed away this week?
Who's that?
For anyone, you know my obsession with Jackass.
Yeah.
And Bam's uncle from Viva La Bam, Don Vito. Apparently he was in a coma for the last month. I didn't even know that. And he passed away on Sunday.
Oh man, I read something about that. And in the world of horror, we lost the original Leatherface, Gunnar Hansen.
Oh my God, yes. That only two movies when I was little gave me nightmares: Candyman and Texas Chainsaw Massacre, because I just kept seeing the girl who was tied in the damn chair.
Yeah, I watched Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I watched the Steelbook. I think it was the Steelbook of Texas Chainsaw Massacre last year, and watched it for the first time in like 15, 20 years. Still holds up.
Oh yeah.
It goes to show you don't need that much blood to tell an effective horror tale.
Yeah, the room was kind of nasty, but the only like flowing blood I can really remember is when he cut his hand in the van.
Mm-hmm. That's about
the rest of it was like more stagnant kind of background blood.
That's pretty much the meat hook
fucked me up though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's scary. No matter how you slice it, you know. I can only imagine if they'd actually shown blood for that. Oh my God! All right, so moving on here with some of my favorite horror movies watched here in 2015. Here's one that is scary on multiple levels. It is a found footage film, believe it or not. It's called The Taking of Deborah Logan. And
everyone's been talking about that.
Oh, my God,
Rhonda. I really
need
to get fucking streaming something.
It's like I said, Rhonda, it's scary on multiple levels because you're dealing with a person who has Alzheimer's. And they showed... Like when the girl's narrating, she goes over what Alzheimer's is and what stages there are. When you get to that one, there's a scene where you see a Alzheimer's patient and it's in their final stage, and oh my God, that's frightening in itself. You know, and you're just like it kind of messes you up. But oh my God. You know, seeing a woman with Alzheimer's possessed by a demonic spirit, you know, damn.
There's a GIF online from that movie, you know, one of those little moving images of her, like, eating a child's head.
Mm-hmm.
Like.
Yes.
That's just fucking creepy.
Mm-hmm. Very. That stuff is very creepy, and... I believe it's still on Netflix. So definitely check that out. Another movie that's on Netflix that lived up to its hype, I thought, was The Babadook.
I totally forgot about that. Holy crap, how did I forget about The Babadook?
Babadook. Oh my God. So finally we can finally talk about a movie we saw together.
Yeah.
Not together in that sense, but yes, oh my God. Okay, everybody, the knock of this movie is the kid's annoying. Well, if you're being chased by a character from a book, I would be screaming my head off, too, if I was that kid. That kid was awesome, as far as I'm concerned. Freaking scared to death, screaming and yelling, driving his mother nuts.
I thought his mama was going to, like, fucking lose it on his ass. I was waiting for his mama to just turn around and, like, fucking smack him.
This movie's gonna be my top five. It's tense. It keeps building and building and building. Then
And the book itself is probably like creepiest. That book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The artwork in that book is really good, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very very good. The monster in that book is
the part that pops out. I was like, yes, it's a pop up.
yes, for sure. Okay, so Rhonda, other than The Babadook, what's the one movie you wanted to talk about that blew you away this year that you saw?
Now, this movie, I believe it came out last year, but I saw it for the first time in January.
Mm-hmm.
Tusk.
Oh, Tusk.
That movie. Like, you don't even understand. I've seen it, like, 12 times. So far. I love that movie. I literally cannot express how much I love that movie. It is the perfect mixture of disgusting gore, funny, and then that fucking ending that's just like, Are you fucking kidding me? You're gonna leave him like that? Like, some fucking crazy-ass old kook could surgically turn the man into a walrus, and you're telling me you can't get a fucking team of doctors to fix him? No, you're gonna leave him as a fucking walrus in a damn fucking animal sanctuary reserve place. Are you fucking shitting me? That ending fucked me up on every level. Like, but that's the ending that it had to have. Like, I think it would be really cool if they made, like, a sequel with them fixing his ass, but they're not going to because it's actually part of a trilogy. So, I mean, they're not going to fix him in the second one. I know what the second one's about. Anyway, but it's just, like, the ending the movie needed. But it was just so
you think so?
Fucked up. This movie was written by some motherfucking potheads, and it was great. Kevin Smith, I love you. And it is going to be a trilogy. The second movie, they're actually making it now, is called Yoga mm-hmm. Hosers. The two girls, the clerks, Johnny Depp's daughter and Kevin Smith's daughter, are the leads in the second movie. Johnny Depp is also returning. Yes! And I guess, like, evil forces are going to be attacking the fucking store they work at. It's going to be great.
Oh, my God. So are we going to be seeing the walrus person?
No. And I know what the storyline for the third movie is. It's going to be called Moose Jaws.
Oh, my God.
Pretty much said it's Jaws with a moose. What? You don't understand. I fucking love stupid shit like this. I am in love with life. I cannot wait for fucking Moose Jaws.
It should be interesting. I mean, Tusk didn't make my top 20 this year, but I did watch it. It wasn't horrible. I'll put it that way. It wasn't horrible. I just kind of like, you know, my head's tilted, scratching my head, going, okay, this is interesting.
Again,
guess,
you have to
but,
remember, they might have been smoking a little marijuana when they came up with the concept.
Oh yeah, And you mentioned Johnny Depp and seeing him
yes!
and the seeing him in that movie. He made the movie. He made that movie for the time he was in. I'll go that.
Oh my God,
I'll go so
brilliant.
Far to say that.
Oh, and Justin Long's performance was great. I don't want to
mm-hmm.
die in Canada. So much, yes.
Yeah, that part was pretty funny.
And the thing I love most about the movie is the concept they actually came up with on his podcast. Kevin Smith has the Smodcast. They were actually
mm-hmm.
live on the show talking about weird movie ideas. And you could, again, Kevin Smith hadn't made a movie in fucking years before this. He actually quit the movie business. But
mm-hmm.
you could, when you listen to the podcast, because I actually listened to it when they were doing it, online, and you can literally hear the moment in his voice when it fucking clicks. Like, he's just like, copyright this shit, Kevin Smith. This is a horror movie. And, like, you could just hear it in his voice, like, oh, he's going to fucking, please tell me he's going to make this. And then, like, 6 months later, he announces he has a fucking script for it at Comic-Con. Yes!
Oh,
and it was
God.
Crazy because he brought everyone along with him. He posted videos. He posted things about how they're making the movie, what they're doing this day. They actually brought the fans into the creative process, people who have missed Kevin Smith movies, and they brought them into the creative process. So it wasn't like other directors who are like trying to hide shit all the fucking time. No, he's like, here, come see how we make this. It was amazing. So I'm like super excited for the rest of the movies. I'm just so happy that Kevin Smith is doing horror.
Alright, well, we'll see where he takes this trilogy at, for sure. Alright. Okay, so my number one movie I watched this year, you can call it a remake if you wish, you can call it a meta-sequel. Either way, I call it fucking fantastic, and that is The Town That Dreaded Sundown. The remake, meta-sequel, whatever you want to call it. Awesome from beginning to end. This film did the smart thing by acknowledging the remake and making it set in the story where the original movie takes place. And in this movie, they every year they show the movie from 1976. So that's took care of that. That took care of that problem immediately. It's its own film. It is scary as hell. A lot of cool shots. A lot of graphic violence, and everything. Just, I mean, the acting is fantastic. Everything just melds together in this one, and seeing the killer's look in his eyes, just like, oh my god, scary as hell. For sure. I mean, Ronnie, you got. I don't know if you've seen the original or not, but you need to check out this remake for sure, or meta sequel, however you want to call it.
No, I haven't. I haven't seen the original.
Okay. Well, you don't have to see. You don't have to see the original to watch this. You know, but I would definitely check it out. It's the Talent Dread Sundown meta sequel remake, whatever you want to call it. So it's on the. Yeah, you definitely got to break down and get Netflix eventually, because you're missing out on a lot of good movies.
I know.
All right. Okay, so review of what's going to be taking place here in the next couple of weeks. We are off on Thanksgiving, of course, because I'm a benevolent.
Because
benevolent kind of executive producer, you know, so take the day off from the show. I mean, I wish you could take the day off from working
life.
The evil corporation, but you don't have to come to work next Thursday, so. And then December the 3rd is one of my favorite episodes of the year, the Crazy Fat Apple 2 Hall of Shame, the class of 2015, and oh my god, do I have some wonderful inductions this time around. You'll be surprised. I have TV shows. I have movies. I have a piece of food that's going to be inducted this year. You'll find out. A food item is going to be inducted this year into the Hall of Shame. I've never done that before until now. And then January 7th, we bid adieu. The final episode of DBHR will take place. I don't know if we have anything, what's going to be happening with that episode just yet. I really don't want to think about that until it gets closer to time, you know. But that's pretty much it. Rhonda, I hope your foot feels better.
Thanks. Oh, I have one quick shout out. It's not a movie or a show, but it's definitely the best of 2015. Shout out to Evil Dead the Musical. That was fucking brilliant. Are you kidding me? The best song in that musical is "What the Fuck Was That?" Seriously. Oh my god, there's a part in the musical where he just keeps pulling out his guts. He's like, why do I keep doing this? And then he's like, yanks the last bit out, and at the end of his guts are his balls and his dick. It was fucking hilarious. You don't even understand.
Oh, I get where you're coming from. Speaking of which, before we go, Rhonda, huge shout out to the folks that sit in the Wasteland this year.
Yes.
Two more awesome shows. We both got to meet Tom Savini, and I got his picture taken with him. That was a very good highlight for us, best of 2015. I met Lori Cardell from The Day of the Dead. Her father is legendary Bill Cardell. He was a horror host in Pittsburgh for years. Oh, yes. Very nice guy. Awesome. Good guy. Awesome guy to talk to, you know, for a few moments. And then, of course, there was Tom Sullivan, wonderful as always. Probably the most hospitable person that you can speak with that's in movies is him. And he dropped some knowledge on me. Last Wasteland, I don't know if I told you about this or not, but apparently a script has been, Army of Darkness 2 has been bankrolled and is being written right now by Sam and Ivan Raimi, according to Tom Sullivan. I trust him because he knows Bruce Campbell. He knows Bruce Campbell, and he told me straight from his lips. So I'm gonna go with what he said, and I don't think it's a lie. But there you have it, some exclusive information here on DBHR. So stay stay tuned for that, I guess. All right, we're going to wrap things up here. Oh, one more shout-out. I want to shout-out to the head huntress of the Halloween Horror Movie Marathon, Madness Marathon, Mrs. Elizabeth Crafton Gray, who graciously let me come on her Archivist Bell and Sexy Witches podcast here on Tuesday night. And you can catch that every other Tuesday evening at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on blogtalkradio.com. I'm also going to be a guest on December the 15th. She'll be talking all things Star Wars, and I could not pass that opportunity up. So check that out December the 15th. And we'll be back on the air December the 3rd. So for the Crazy Fastful 2 Hall of Shame Class of 2015. But until then, that's all the time we have for this week's edition. And until December the 3rd, this is Eric Polk saying to all of Ripley Nation, there's only two episodes left now. Good night now.